SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
No parent wants to see their child face the devastating effects of bullying. Dolly's Dream is here for kids, young people, and parents in your community. Call 13 Dolly for confidential bullying support. You're not alone.
You're listening to SBS News.
What's your read so far on the primary results and what it means for Donald Trump's political future?
So I think what we're seeing is that Donald Trump continues to have an absolute iron grip on the MAGA side of the Republican Party. I think we have to be careful here to really carefully describe what that is and who these people are who are going out and voting in primaries. Unlike in Australia, in the U.S., primaries that are decided by several million people. They're open to voters within that political party. Some states don't have party registration, and so anyone who's a registered voter can vote in any of those primaries. But the people who are coming out to vote in these primaries are the diehards of either party. These are the people who vote in every election, who are donors, who are volunteers, who want to have a say in who these people are. So what we're seeing is that Donald Trump has a really tight grip on the diehard side of the MAGA coalition. And I think this is really best exemplified in two cases. One, just recently in Kentucky, where Thomas Massie, who is really the Republican representative who was most sort of vocal against Donald Trump. He was the lead sponsor of the legislation that forced the release of at least some of the Epstein files. Thomas Massie just a couple days ago was beaten by a Trump-backed opponent, specifically over his sort of seeming lack of loyalty to Donald Trump. The other one that I think is actually significantly more troubling is in Indiana, where all but one of the state representatives and senators who voted down Trump's attempt to redistrict that state and get rid of its Democratic districts, all but one of them lost their primaries to Trump-backed opponents, which is showing just how far down the ballot Trump and his team are willing to go to demand loyalty at every turn, and how far Trump's supporters are willing to go to enforce that.
Trump's approval ratings have fallen in recent months, which has historically been a warning sign for presidents heading into midterm elections. At the same time, these primaries suggest that he still holds significant influence over the Republican Party. How are Democrats interpreting that dynamic?
So I think that your framing of this is right. And I think that by and large, American voters are frustrated with Donald Trump. They're frustrated with the Republican Party. And again, I don't think that these Republican primaries are reflective of the electorate as a whole. They're reflective of the 35 to 37% of the electorate that is still supportive of Donald Trump. I think the Democratic Party, we've still yet to figure out an identity in this political landscape, and we're putting forward in almost all of these competitive races a very similar brand of candidate, a white man between about 30 and 50, I think that we're largely putting forward as kind of non-controversial a candidate as we can, and really drawing, and I think that has the effect of drawing the contrast with the really quite extreme candidates that are coming out on the Republican side, and the battles that are continuing to play out in Republican primaries that haven't settled yet. The example there being in Texas, which is a race the Democrats haven't won a statewide election in Texas since, I think, 1994. And that Senate race is suddenly very competitive because you have an interesting and charismatic Democrat who in most years would have no chance, but who is going against a Republican Party that has yet to choose a nominee. And Donald Trump just the other day weighed in to endorse Ken Paxton, who is the state who's a state elected official who is currently under indictment on several charges, including, you know, something approaching misuse of public funds. So that, I think, is the contrast the Democrats are eventually drawing. But I think if it turns out the Democrats end up winning this election in November, it will more be a reflection of dissatisfaction with the Republican Party than excitement about the Democratic Party. And that's something we still need to figure out heading into 2028.
You mentioned that Democrats are still figuring out their identity, but what kind of messaging do you think Democrats will be focusing on in the primaries? And what do the results so far tell you about the vision and trajectory to move forward?
I think affordability is certainly key. You know, it's something that Republicans ran on quite successfully in 2024 and seem to have completely abandoned, given everything that the president's doing. I think that we're trying to walk quite a thin line about criticizing the president versus maintaining a focus on state level issues. In some states, will have more play than others, especially some of these really critical battleground races. But beyond affordability, I've yet to see a sort of signature Democratic line that we're going with, in the same way that in 2006 and 2008 we were really focused on healthcare. That was the single focused message, was replacing George W. Bush and enacting healthcare. That was something that Barack Obama ended up coming in with a massive majority and was able to do. But I've yet to see something like that emerge. And it seems like as a party, we're largely just waiting to see who is going to emerge as a leader of the party, and how they're going to be able to direct what that messaging is going to be. We really don't seem to have a cohesive strategy and a cohesive set of messaging beyond pointing to the failures of the Trump administration, and we really need to figure that out. If we don't, we're not going to have a positive message that allows voters to come on to our campaigns in 2028. It may well be enough this time around, but I think in 2028 we certainly need to have figured that message out.
You've worked on Democratic campaigns ranging from mayoral races to presidential elections. If you were advising Democrats today, would you rather face a Trump-backed Republican or maybe a more traditional conservative in the midterms?
That's a great question, and I think it depends what where that race is and what level that race is at. You know, if it's a race for Congress, I would rather have a Trump-backed candidate, if only because I think this election will largely be a referendum on Donald Trump's presidency. Donald Trump is really bent on making that the case, and I think that's ultimately going to be one of the reasons that his party loses ground, given his historic unpopularity. But in some of these other races, especially state-level races, American voters do tend to split how we think about federal and state-level races. You often see states like Kansas, which is a deep red district, deep red state, when it comes to presidential elections, when it comes to electing members of Congress, but it has a Democratic governor right now, and seems like it may elect another Democratic governor later this year. I think in those cases, I would rather go up against sort of a more traditional Republican, if only because that allows the race to stay within the state rather than becoming nationalized And when a race gets nationalized at that state level, I'm not sure, then fundraising comes into play a lot more. Suddenly you go from needing to raise $3 or $4 million to needing to raise $100 million. And that's just a much different task at a state level than a federal level. I think the big thing just for your readers to be aware of is what all the redistricting is doing here. It's really impossible to discuss any of these House races without discussing what's happening with redistricting and what's happening with, how that's changing campaigns. In South Carolina, where I'm from in particular, it seems that the Republican state legislature is about to cancel an election after votes, including mine, have already been cast. And that's really going to call a lot of things into question about what the map is going to look like, what voters are actually putting on their ballot, and the confusion that voters are going to have going into this. So, and I think they're largely blaming Republicans for that confusion and for that sort of perversion of democracy. So I think that's at least worth mentioning that I think that's going to have a lot to do with what these results end up being.
Join us this National Reconciliation Week from the 27th of May to the 3rd of June, and let's all be all in for reconciliation. Visit reconciliation.org.au to find out more. Authorised by Reconciliation Australia Limited, Sydney.